When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One of the things that really struck me for the first time was that it was probably a mistake that I bench boosted in game week one.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James, and for the benefit of those listening to audio, you're listening to Ask James, my regular YouTube live stream, where I welcome questions from the YouTube community on anything football related. To timestamp this, and that feels particularly important today, it is 3:05 p.m. on Friday, the 22nd of March. I timestamp that importantly because we're likely to get some game week fixtures, we think, in the next couple of hours in relation to game week 34. I was quite hopeful when I scheduled this for today that we may have had them earlier this week. That's not proved to be the case. But for a little bit of clarity for you, some of you will have noticed that we updated the projected fixtures on FPL Team yesterday. That's also been updated for our patrons on my planner spreadsheets as well. That's because of way too much noise about the Crystal Palace and Newcastle fixture. Many of you have probably seen tweets going around on Twitter suggesting that that will go into game week 34. That is why the projections have moved. It's a domino effect, as very much explained on Monday's podcast. Also, add into that, the FA Cup semi-final dates have been confirmed today. As suspected, Manchester City and Chelsea is the game on the Saturday. And we think that's probably going to open up Arsenal versus Chelsea for the Tuesday in game week 34. So that best case scenario, as I said on Monday, there was a possibility that we had zero teams doubling in 34. The maximum was seven. We think now it's possibly going to be the maximum of seven, which would be Arsenal, Liverpool, Everton, Wolves, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Sheffield United, and that's it. Those seven, yeah. That's what we think now is the likely scenario. I imagine, again, as explained on Monday's pod, that the upsets in the cup with Coventry and Manchester United win last weekend would probably throw a few things out. Don't be surprised if it's not definitely this week, as had been previously promised. We do think it'll probably be today. There's enough noise going about. We're all going to find out soon enough, but it now looks like game week 34 is going to be the biggest it could be. And that'll have six teams, therefore, doubling in 37, which would be Brighton, Manchester City, Chelsea, Tottenham, Manchester United, and Newcastle. We will no doubt discuss more once we've got clarity next week, and who knows, someone may even be asking about it in the questions. Let's get into them. Matthew Crowe is first, says, hello from Atlanta. Is either Bailey or Douglas Luiz to Palmer worth a hit if wildcarding in game week 31, or just go without? Look, it's one game, right? Can't see crystal balls into the future, but I'll be debating something very, very similar. For me, it would probably be in place of Jared Bowen, perhaps as part of a later move, because I might even be postponing my own wild card possibly. And that would mean benching Bailey. So it's not too dissimilar. My instincts at the moment, Matthew, is for me rolling on a little bit further. Maybe it's probably yes, but I'd still consider it even if wild carding in game week 31. I can't answer this for you with certainty because I'm very much of a similar dilemma and I've not made my mind up and have no intention of thinking about it too deeply till we've got confirmation of these fixtures and then in which week I know I'm wildcarding. If you absolutely know that you're wildcarding in 31, yeah, I'd probably do it, actually. Yeah, I'd probably take the upside of that. I think he's very captainable. Game week 31. I think those who are without Mo should certainly consider it. It's probably between Palmer and Son for me, captaincy, if I buy a Palmer. I haven't ruled out Haaland either. I'm probably not going to be able to get the Mo, I think, unless I had an injury that really opened the game up for me. So probably yes, but I'm of a similar kind of decision-making process, Matthew, and I haven't decided yet. Aaron Hill says, "Hi, James. On wildcard at the moment on Tony, which would save me a transfer that would likely be a hit later. Really considering Isak or Nunes instead, but don't know if Nunes starts all the next three games. Thoughts? Can't guarantee it, mate. Particularly with Sheffield United on a Thursday, 3 days before Manchester United, which Liverpool have had difficulty on their two trips to Old Trafford against Erik ten Hag's Manchester United. So, yeah, I mean, I couldn't guarantee you any Liverpool player would start against Sheffield United in game week 31. That includes my. So, can I guarantee it? No, not at all, mate. Would that be the way I'd want to go? Yeah, it's a possibility for me. Both of those players are possibly under consideration for me if I just need to find a little bit of money. But I, for me, probably wouldn't be Tony that goes. It would be Watkins. Therefore, that's not really a move for me in game week 30. So it's probably a sit where you are for the moment, I think, and see where you land after the weekend information. Vish says, "Why is there such a fury around the Nike blue England flag on the shirt? Do you think it's a big deal?" No, I don't, mate. No, I don't. People getting their knickers in a twist because there's a little bit of a change to the colour on the flag when there's way more important things. It's on a piece of clothing. It's design. Like, it's not that deep. So I've not really got anything else to say on the matter. I'd see people losing their rag. It's interesting, actually, on an Umbro kit about 10 years ago, something very, very similar happened. Just in smaller scales, smaller flags dotted around on the shirt, and nothing was made of it then. So, yeah, whatever. Vish says, "Is Lascelles now nailed now that Botman is out?" You would think so. You would think so. The feedback from our Newcastle patrons is, yep, that's Lascelles playing is generally more likely than, say, Livramento playing left back and Burn going a centre back. Yeah, it's more likely Lascelles comes in. And despite the fact results suffered a little bit over that period, I think Jamal Lascelles himself actually probably did better than Newcastle fans expected over that period. So, yeah, I just think Lascelles will play, to be honest. Sheriff Gabur says, "Hi, mate. Who to prioritise to get this game week out of Salah and Palmer or get both for a hit? Thanks. We'll be selling Douglas Luiz and Bowen." I mean, if I could get to those two players for a simple minus four, I'd just be doing it personally. That's my take at the moment. Just wait and see. It's over a week away. Half tough answering some of these now when between now and next week, players could get injured over international duty and stuff like that. I certainly wouldn't be taking a minus four now. I'd wait till next week. But yeah, if I could get to both players for a minus four, yeah, I'd be getting both, Sheriff. Carl Valencia says, "Do you think Son is going to play on the left, or do you think Ange will keep him through the middle with Richie left?" Think the performance at Fulham was, I was going to say alarming. Alarming's not true. Let's just say the performance at Fulham was so bad that it makes what happens next a lot more unpredictable. For example, I think had we played very well, I'm not sure that Richarlison would have come back in. Now, the excuse is certainly there to put him back in the team. And I think as it stands, that's the more likely thing. And therefore, yes, Son would move to the left. I spoke many times about not being high on Son as an asset playing from the left, but also in a fixture like Luton at home, I wouldn't sweat it. That said, if you're not on Son, and I realise so many people obviously bought him for 29, if they were buying free hitters, it might be a different circumstance. I'd say don't buy at the moment. That's what I'd say. But I think Son owners probably also shouldn't sell this week either. Like, I'm not desperate to be sitting there going, "Oh, let's move Son to Salah." I'm not desperate to do that. I don't think that's right. I think it's certainly diminished my want to captain Son, certainly, in game week 30. But it's not with a fixture like that, it's not like a panic and a sell before Luton. Luton are quite open. They're unique in comparison to many of the other sides near the bottom of the table at the moment. Defensively, they've got injuries all across the back line. You know, if Son has to play against, you know, even if it's say Kabore and Burke along that side, like Son can still do damage from the left in a fixture like that. So I wouldn't sweat it too much for the next one. My instinct is yes, probably Richarlison comes back in. Similarly, I'm not sure at this stage that I'd be steaming into Richarlison either, though. Steve says, "Hi, James. I'm a Forest fan and quite relieved about only 4 points, but can also see the sides of the appeal and be angry with it. What are your thoughts, and do you think an appeal would be worth trying? I'll be very honest, I've not had the chance yet to pore over the details specifically. But I do know, obviously, Forest were given two sets of 3-point deductions and then withdrawn 2 points because of their cooperation. That's why it seems to be at 4 points. That said, that any appeal could mean that their goodwill and their cooperation might be then ignored because they're appealing the decision. I think, I said this at the end of our Money and Football podcast on Patreon yesterday, my instinct was that Forest should accept it. Doesn't mean that they shouldn't be angry about it, but the best thing for them might just be to say, okay, 4 points, it's neck and neck near enough, what, a point behind Luton, with much better fixtures than Luton around the end of the season. Just get on with it. Just get on with it and finish it off. I mean, if over the next two game weeks, Forest have Palace at home and Fulham at home, and Luton go to Tottenham and Arsenal respectively, right, there's a huge chance to swing that back in Forest fixture. And there's further fixtures, I think, after that where Forest will fancy picking up some points. Luton have some decent home games left, but I don't think there's as much reliability to get those points. So I think I kind of get your sentiment of a little bit relieved, yeah, rather than it being like a 10 points or something like that. You must fancy your chances, I think, with 1 point down of doing the business with what's left. Maybe there's even a case to say, I don't know how quickly Forest have to set out their desire to appeal, but you might even, if it's a case of they've got 2 weeks before they appeal, you might even want to look at the Palace and Fulham results before making a decision. The strategic play might come into it, because as I said, it's not beyond reason, from my understanding, that the points increase could even be increased on appeal because you get a different panel. It can be appealed, but there's nothing written in law to say that the points deduction can't get bigger. So I think Forest should probably take it, get on with it. I don't think prior to the decision there'd have been Forest fans thinking we're not 4 points better than Luton at this stage. We'll have more than enough. So I think it's probably take the punishment and carry on. But I must confess, I'm not poring over the details yet. I have read Forest's strongly worded statement that they put on their site, but I did know immediately from that there was no words that said we will appeal. And with a statement that was that definitive and that damning of the Premier League, and I didn't think there was much that they said in there that was wrong, actually, but I would have expected to see at the end of it, Forest will confirm that they will appeal, and that wasn't there. So I think they're probably assessing their options at the moment and taking probably legal advice as well. Ali Bismo says, hi, James, who do you think will win the Euros if England or France went out early? Portugal's really strong. Yes, I think Portugal's probably next in line. I people generally have quite a bit of concern about Roberto Martinez being in charge. I note that I think they've won every game under him so far, but their strongest opponent was arguably Sweden, who I think they played last night. The qualifiers, I think they've played like Bosnia. They've not had the toughest of fixtures yet, so we haven't been able to assess them against another top opponent, if you will. But yeah, I don't mind the Portugal shout. I think there's concerns about Martinez and his ability to get someone over the line at the end. But yeah, Portugal have got a really strong squad of players. I think if they're at their peak, I'd probably put them above the likes of Spain and Italy at the moment. Germany will be a threat on home soil, no doubt. But I don't feel like that's the biggest concern. I think France quite rightly favourites. And I do think it's not just a bias, because I'm generally quite negative on these things, but England are certainly amongst the front runners for this tournament. There's a great opportunity there. Aaron Hill says, what do you think about the new fantasy challenge? Any guesses to what it might entail and reckon you'll be playing it? Cheers. I'm hard to know what I'm going to play when I don't know what it is, mate. Can I be honest? I can't really give a shit about it, mate. Like when they announce it, cool, let's look at it. It's nice that people are excited about a new format and stuff, but you might well find yourselves to be underwhelmed. Let's wait and see what it is and then have a look afterwards. Have I thought about it for more than probably 20 seconds? No, I don't know what it is. It's not that important to me. Let's see when it comes out. Shit answer, I don't care. So I've not thought about it. Paul Duffy says, has Postecoglou exceeded your expectations? Yeah, I would guess so. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair question to ask. And I think it's fair for me to say yes. I think Look, it was new to the league. We'd obviously heard really good things, particularly from Celtic fans, but you don't really know how that's going to equate into the league. So, yeah, I think, you know, even if we did finish, say, fifth from here, I think that's probably above the expectations that we probably had in pre-season. It's difficult to say it, actually. Probably would have expected us to get back in Europe. Yeah, probably, yeah. But probably to push for a Champions League place, no. Probably there probably wasn't too much expectation on that. So yeah, the brand of football is obviously so much better than what I'd been watching for the last few years. There's things definitely to improve, both stylistically, tactically, and in terms of personnel. But yeah, for a first season, he's done really well. Many people have heard me say, sort of within a month, he's already won the season, basically, because of how quickly the style of play had changed. Paul says, who should be the next Aberdeen manager? Not Neil Warnock. I wouldn't have enough following of Scottish football to know what Aberdeen are looking for. Are they looking for a young manager? With Warnock, it was obviously experienced interim. I wouldn't know what they're looking for or what their aims are. I'm not really following Scottish football enough to know who would be a good fit there for Aberdeen, mate. Sam Routledge this afternoon, James. Hope you're right. What do you make of St. George's Cross England shirt debacle again? Personally, I think people find any excuse to be pissed off. Must be a slow week. Yeah, it's a slow week, Sam, and I'm going to skip that because I've already covered it, mate. Ali says, now, FPL question. If on Wildcard 31, do we go with the Power 5 midfield, Saka, Mo, Palmer, Son, Foden? We'll downgrade one of them for Garnacho / Gordon, etc., and get a more expensive third striker. The answer lies in your strategy, right? So if we have game week 34 is looking like a big double, then, and you're looking towards bench boosting that week, that's going to heavily influence your decision making, right? Even to the extent of, well, Palmer's got incredible fixtures. Yeah, but do you want to bench boost with Palmer away to Arsenal? You might, you know, Palmer might not be the only Chelsea player if you wild card in game week 31, for example. You want to bench boost with Palmer, Gusto, and Petrovic away to Arsenal, as an example, or Nicholas Jackson. So your strategy is really important, right? It's not just about wildcard 31. It's about your strategy from now. Are you free hitting in 34? How well do you think you can maneuver between game weeks 35 to 38? Where quite clearly, for those who are bench boosting at the end, I did this on the Chip Talk piece for advanced intermediate plus tier patrons yesterday, looking at a wildcard 35 and the power of it. If these fixtures land the way they now look like they're going to land, the power of it is absurd. Treble Newcastle, treble Man United, treble Chelsea, bit of Brighton, bit of Man City, bit of Tottenham, Bob's your uncle, off you go. It's done. And because the fixtures in 35, 36, and 38 are great, and all those teams are doubling 37. It's nothing to be said. It's going to be so easy. And it's why I'm interested in looking at that as a possibility as well. And I recommend everybody just has a second glance of that. So bearing that in mind, you need to know what you're going up against with those game week 35 wildcards as if these fixtures land like this. So the likes of Manchester United and Newcastle players need to come into your consideration. That doesn't mean you need to start with them though, right? Maybe you're running through. Maybe you can just go and buy Garnacho and Gordon in 34, for example, and sell perhaps Son in 33 as part of that, right? You might want to flip that where you go, right, yeah, Manchester United away to Bournemouth. Right, now I'm going Son to Garnacho and I'm beginning to move the money about. So you don't necessarily have to start. It's all about the plan. This is where sites like FPL Team, and obviously there are others, are really good in terms of your future planning. And there should be more than one plan in place. And there should also be contingencies because everyone's going to have an injury between now and the end of the season. That's nearly a certainty. And someone who looks assured of their place in the team probably won't do at some point over the next few weeks. Plus, you need to factor in that many of the teams I've just been mentioning might have nothing to play for by the time game week 37 comes around. But that's also an advantage for those who may wildcard in 35 and later on because they'll have a clearer understanding of that. So it's balance. I think personally, I'd probably go with the Power Five, the ideal scenario, because I think with that, the re-emergence of players like Lascelles, the emergence of Muniz as a great kind of eighth attacker in the forward area. I don't even think if you were really short of chips and perhaps not free hitting in 34 or doing anything then, like Muniz and Semenyo, why not with Haaland? allow that power midfield five, then you can perhaps invest in a bit more offensively. That might mean that when you downgrade Son to Garnacho, it's just an example in 33, that when you come back to 35, you can look at putting people in like Trippier, who perhaps might not be on the agenda now, for example. So there's no right or wrong. Your strategy is quite important. My instinct is there's not too many of that five that I'd want to go without. There's also a case to move Son to something else in a little bit. So you might take the example, you go, right, well, I'm just going to go Son now on 30, and that's going to hold for me for one game, and I'll move to Saka in 31. That then allows you to put Garnacho or Gordon in instead, or an alternative. There's different ways to play it, mate. Paul Duffy says, have non-game week 29 free hitters won the free hit battle? Hope that you and your family are well. Love your be nice to each other send-offs. Have they won the battle? Not yet. Not yet. One of the things, I guess it on the Form is Temporary podcast, and we discussed this on the pod they released this morning. I've got another podcast releasing next Wednesday that I guest on. I very much recommend you have a listen to it if you get the chance. We speak about it a bit on there about just judging before and afterwards, right? Game week 29 was shit for everybody, right? Whether you free hit it or not. So you can look at it in isolation and go, right, no game. But as I said to, I think it was Chris who'd free hit on there, said, like, have you done the last 3-4 weeks? Oh, yeah, that's solid green arrows, a good ranks. Right. But that, because you knew you were free hitting in 29, that's had an influence on your 29. So you had a good build up without going towards those players in 29, which also, by the way, the non-free hitters, a lot of them don't want, right? And maybe free hitters are in a stronger position now for game week 30 and the forthcoming weeks. So you can't just measure it just on the one. What I would say is, if these fixtures land with the seven teams doubling in 34, as we now may think as this week's progressed, is now perhaps the more likely scenario, then what I said when we did the first chip pod back in January, that you would want three teams across 29, 34 and 37 will be true. And I'm pleased that I've still got it. Let me say that. But to say someone's won or lost at this stage, no. For example, when I was looking at that wildcard 35 yesterday, one of the things that really struck me for the first time was that it was probably a mistake that I bench boosted in game week one, because of now it's how going to land. And that, whether it was good or bad, by the way, is swung on Manchester United beating Liverpool. That's what it swung on, because I just think it's going to be really easy now for people to wildcard in 35 and have great bench boost in 37. I think it's going to be easy if the fixtures now land like this. And that was for the first time I thought, yeah, do you know what? Cool, I got 19 points on a game week one bench boost. But actually, if I'd known it would land like this, and it is because Liverpool specifically lost an FA Cup quarter final, then yeah, I'd have held it back. That's not to say that there's regret in the decision. Sam Routledge says, afternoon, James. That's what we've done. Sorry. I had a message that threw me. Thanks, Danny. I appreciate that, mate. Paul Duffy, we've done. Jerry Dahmer, you. Sorry, guys. Hi, James. Do you think Mo Cap versus Brighton at Anfield is better than Sun versus Luton a while lane, or maybe Sun due to Luton being the worst defensive team away from home? I think preference there is probably Mo because of the uncertainty about Sonny. I don't like captain players when I don't know where they'll play. Now, it could be that I think Son will play up front, hypothetically, and I'm not saying I do, and he plays on the left and he still goes off and proves to be the right captaincy choice, right? That's the outcome. But I'd regret the decision at that point. So if I think he's going to play on the left and I still think he's the best choice, then sure, I haven't come to that conclusion yet. I would think Salah's a better choice than Son. At the moment, my captaincy's bust on Son. I think that's probably better than Haaland. But if I get Palmer, I think there's every chance I'll be going there personally. I think Salah might just be the best. QG123 says, just over a year now since Antonio Conte made those post-match comments at Southampton, how do you look at them now? Do you think any of what he said was fair, or do you view him similarly to Mourinho? You can't go out and speak like that, not publicly. I don't have a dislike of Conte in the way I did for Mourinho, because I had three very good months under Antonio Conte where we played some, it was counter-attacking football. We played some very good counter-attacking football at the end of 21-22 season, and battered some teams very convincingly, scoring a lot of goals. So, you know, I saw that there was something there. Wasn't really the brand of football that I particularly wanted. Did he go down kind of like a big lead balloon after that? Yeah, of course. Like he literally had to be sacked after that press conference at Southampton. There's no way that he could have continued. I also like to think that Ange is beginning to dispel some of the myths about the club and how it can play a certain brand of football. So, but no, I don't. I mean, Mourinho is just fucking paint dry. I mean, Conte had something about him. But no, do I miss either? No. But we the team did at least achieve something under Conte. And we that end of that season was thrilling. It was good. Vish says, is it possible to go without Foden until wildcard 35? He's the one that scares me the most. Is it possible, mate? Yeah, you just don't transfer him in. It's fairly straightforward from that perspective, isn't it? So, yeah, you can. Would I want to? Not particularly, but I mean, you can look at it and go, right, it's Arsenal at home, Villa at home, challenging games, Palace away, Luton at home. Is there the chance that he's rotated across one or both of those games? Yeah, sure. I mean, the Luton game is either side of the Champions League, isn't it? So, yeah, rotation could exist there, no doubt about it. So, like, you know me, I'm not going to tell you players are essential, right? So I could say Salah's the best captaincy in game week 30. I probably won't have him. That's the way it is at the moment. Jerry says, if you're in my position, would you do it Stupinan, Bowen, I presume that's Garnacho, to Gusto, Palmer, Mo captain from -8 in game week 30. Other defenders are Gabriel, Saliba, Aki and Doughty. Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind it. Even for -8, you know, probably you have to question, do you need to do the defensive one? But if you need to do it for money reasons as well, getting Palmer and Mo in, yeah. It's fine. I'm going to look at a few -8 options that involve Mo. I don't see me doing it, but yeah, that's not too bad, that one. If you'd want to lose Garnacho, it might be questionable and dependent on your strategy later on. The other two are cuttable. Dermot Whelan says, hi, James. Favourite Spurs player in a bad Spurs team who you think would have thrived with better players around him? Liverpool fan me and really rated Raul Morelles only for how bad we were back then. Okay. I mean, Ginola was the first name that came to mind, but he was so individualistic anyway. I'm not sure that he would have or even could have been much better than he was actually in that period sort of between 98 and 2000. I'm not sure if he played in a better team, he could have been better than what he was as an individual. I'm really not sure about that. That was the first name that sprung to mind. The thing is, if you're thinking about players who I'm liable to think of players that were good in a bad team rather than players that were just bad in a bad team would have been better in a good team, if that makes sense. You know, Ledley springs to mind as well. Would have benefited so much playing with like a Toby Alderweireld, for example, or even like a peak Danny Rose on his left, for example, rather than some of the shit he had either side of him. And he did have a brilliant relationship, by the way, with Michael Dawson. I love Dawson. But yeah, that's one. That's a tough question. Good question, by the way. It's a tough one. FPL Harry says, chaos when doubles get announced live on stream. I'll know if they do, mate. One of my patrons would certainly tag me if that was the case. But yeah, I'm semi-hoping that it would, because it would be great, particularly when all the graphics will be out of sync as well. Hello, Jamie Hayes. Hope you're well. Discord in my head. Just a dad posting stuff. Says, afternoon, James. Fingers crossed they drop whilst we are on stream. I think it'd probably be as soon as I finish, to be honest. Wouldn't that be the way? Vinyl Pugilis says, afternoon, James. What are your initial thoughts on potentially that Leicester could get promoted and start with minus points? Yeah, we've been anticipating this. It's not come as any shock to us. We did a bit of digging on a few teams' finances when we did a piece on Wolves on Patreon last week, and Leicester was one that we'd concluded would probably, there was every chance it would come up and get a points deduction if that was the case. So it's certainly come as no surprise. I know to be aware, it should have got deducted points last year. Yeah, but then Everton didn't get deducted points last year either. So yeah, everybody's going to be kind of on their own agendas in terms of when shit happens. Yeah, why aren't they getting deducted points in the Championship this year? Well, because it's under Premier League jurisdiction, so it won't be till they come back up. But if they don't come back up for 5 years, maybe they walk into a points deduction in 5 years. I don't know the answers, and that's because the Premier League have been so shoddy and rough-handed with their outlining of what the actual rules are and the interpretation on this. And it's one of the things they must improve off the experience of this season. So let's just say it's not going to come as a surprise to us. John Keats is commentary fan here. Did you watch the FA Cup game? What a finish. Do you think we beat United in the semis? I didn't watch the game, so unfortunately I was doing the deadline stream, and then I headed straight off to watch Tottenham at Fulham. So no, I've seen the goals and stuff. What an ending. And you should absolutely be celebrating that all the way to Wembley. Can you beat them? FA Cup, mate. I think you and I both know, John, that it's unlikely. I think United might be the worst one you could have got in terms of they'll pick their strongest team probably as well. You might have got even a little bit of rotation from Chelsea. You definitely would have got some rotation from City. I realise that's still the toughest opponent. United have probably just picked their strongest team, mate. So I think realistically, it's probably unlikely. Adrian Brightgam says, "Hi, James. Hope you're well. Should I go with Alvarez instead of Haaland to allow Trent? Thanks." That's different. One, I don't think we think Trent's going to be fit for game week 30. Not that I've heard at the moment. And I just think Alvarez would be of no interest at this stage. If you want to look at alternatives to Haaland, that's fine. But look at different players to Alvarez. I mean, it'd be similar price to be looking at Solanke for a little bit more, or even coming down to the likes of Muniz or Semenyo. Yeah, I wouldn't be looking at Alvarez at this stage. Carl Valencia says a lot of wild carders will have the template mids of those five. Well, he has put Son in that five we mentioned earlier. If you wanted to differentiate from mini league rivals, would you think of going Havertz instead of Son? Yeah, sure. You're going to wild card into what Havertz away to Manchester City rather than Son at home to Luton. Now, again, if you want to plan that move to game week 31, sure, but it's different for different, isn't it? How good are Arsenal's fixtures? I mean, if I said to you now, for example, let's just say Havertz didn't start against Luton, and he probably will, right? But if he didn't start against Luton, then what is it? City away, Brighton away, Villa at home, Wolves away, Chelsea at home, Tottenham away. It's not great for a differential. If you're going to do that, just be looking at some different teams, perhaps. I think. I mean, look, he's in really good form. Is it liable to continue? Not sure. Ali says thoughts on Toti Gomez as an enabler when Wolves have a double game week. You must be really tight on money. Dawson and Kilman both safer options. Ait Nouri a better option. I think we're at the stage with Ait Nouri now where even in a double, I think if he didn't play, it would probably be a surprise because he's playing well enough. So I mean that would probably I mean would I even put Toti Gomez above Semedo? Probably not. That would probably the one that would be of the least interest to me. And I don't think he's not significantly cheaper or anything, is he? So no, not keen, mate. Joseph Robinson says, "Hello, James, but pal, knowing you will love North London, but you do not love Arsenal, obviously. How are your inner emotions affected when you hear Arsenal's newest anthem, North London Forever?" Couldn't care less, mate. Whatever. That's something they've adopted, they want to do. Yeah, that's like, if they're playing at home, like I've heard it a few times now, it's like, okay. Like they like it, it's up to them, right? I'm probably liable to just switch channel for 30 seconds. So, Chotsy Times says, "Afternoon, James. Hope you're well. And as always, come you Spurs." Thank you. Nick Giordano says, "Why do we think the Palace and Sheffield United doubles will happen in 34 instead of United v Newcastle just going into 34? What is it that makes the former more likely?" It's too much noise now, mate. That's it, Nick. It's literally as simple as that, mate. My thoughts process, you probably know, was the other way around at the beginning of this week. There's too much noise, particularly around that Palace Newcastle game now. It's all over the timeline everywhere that it seems to be going into game week 34. So it's that, mate. Rhino says, afternoon, Leicester scored a goal at Leeds that had VAR been involved, would have pretty much put them up, but the officials cocked it and now Leeds are top. No VAR, the best thing about this league. Yeah, well, don't go up, mate. Stay out of it. Or stay in it. MRCX says, hey, James, looking to go Moreno, Bowen and Watkins to Gusto, Darwin and Salah for game week 31 from -4. Thoughts? Moreno, Bowen and Watkins to Gusto, Darwin and Salah for game 31 from -4. Yeah, I think with that, just you might need to do all them moves, I'm going to guess. If you need to do all those moves for Salah, then sure. It's the selling Watkins in 30. Oh, you are selling game with 31 as well. Yeah, no question, mate. And no problem with that at all. You're saying, would you do the move for game with 30 from -8 instead? No, probably not. Probably not. But I'd maybe be looking to set it up like Bowen to something else, maybe, to set that up so that maybe it wasn't necessarily a -4 in 31. But yeah, if you're making three moves in 31, fine. Jamie Hayes says, literally no longer St. George's Cross when you changed it from red. Okay, we're really making a big deal of this. Okay, fine. So it's not St. George's Cross if it's not red. It's a design on a piece of clothing. Joe Pickle says, have you been to away to any England tournaments in the past? Not or any in the future you would fancy money not being a factor? If I didn't have Harry, I'd be strongly looking to consider going out to Germany for this month. Strongly be considering it. There's no way I'm going away from my son for a prolonged period at the moment. So Germany, it was a bit of talk before I started the podcast of going out to France in 2016 for a bit, but one reason or another, it didn't happen. I don't think it would have been particularly financially viable for me then either. It's not something I consider because I think Germany would be perfect, absolutely perfect. It's big country, but it's also quite easy to navigate. It's easy to get home from, particularly the games that are on the west. So you can't even come back for a couple of days, go back again. So do you think Germany would have been absolutely ideal? To answer your question is no, I haven't. Paul Duffy says, how do you think Scotland will do at the Euros? Challenging group, but probably the strongest Scottish team we've seen since 98. I think there's every chance to get out of group. And I don't think the quarterfinals is not impossible, but need a little bit of luck with what lands afterwards, maybe in the last 16. But I definitely think Scotland could get out of the group, but it is a challenge and draw that they've got as well. But yeah, I'd certainly give them a chance of getting out of the group, definitely. FPL Yellow Army says, hi, James, thanks again for coming on the pod. Really enjoyed it on Wednesday. Top guy. Cheers, mate. That's Roberto. From the Former's Temporary podcast, obviously part one, looking back at game at 29, was released this morning. Second part of that out next Wednesday, I think that's right. No, I corrected. Next Thursday. The Smiths 1986 says, what was your honest opinion of the Harry Kane statue? Terrible, isn't it? For those who haven't seen, he's sitting on a bench. Now, what that's all about, it's weird. Yeah, just get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Melt it down. And if we win the Euros, do a new one with him lifting the trophy and put it outside Wembley. Done. Kanji FPL says, do you believe in Spurs scoring in the more difficult games? Will their big games be high scoring? Who do you think Spurs are most likely to beat between City, Liverpool and Arsenal? The most likely to beat is Arsenal because of the game, the occasion. No doubt about ferocious atmosphere, those sort of things that come with it. Liverpool away is the toughest because it's away. City at home, good historical record, but if you view the game from the lens of what happened in the FA Cup game in January, then City will now feel they've got a really good understanding of how Tottenham play, and the results historically are now irrelevant. So yeah, Arsenal's the most likely. I think history of the fixture, what the atmosphere will be like, that's the most likely. That's not to say, oh, everything will be Arsenal. Like, I can't really see us winning any of them at the moment, but Arsenal's the more likely. In terms of scoring goals, well, in the reverse fixtures this season, of which two were away and one was at home, we scored 7. So make of that what you will. Like, will we get goals? Well, yeah, if we get goals, we'll probably get good results as well. I suspect the three teams will all have learnt something from playing us the first time round, as it looks like City showed in January. But can we score against these teams? Yeah, sure. Last Saturday is the first time we ain't scored in a year. Kevin Holmes says, with all these point deductions and potentially more on the way, do you still see the three promoted teams going down? I'm a Burnley fan. I really can't see us making up the 5-point gap. No, I think it's very unlikely for Burnley, to be honest, I'm afraid, Kevin. You certainly can see an opportunity there, right? And I think the four fixtures after the Chelsea away game are nice, right? Well, where there's a chance, a final chance, maybe. And, you know, if you could put yourself in a position where, I don't know, you've just had four from the last two. I don't know, if you could even just scrape a draw at Chelsea and then it's, oh, three games unbeaten, four good fixtures coming up. The vibe and the mood might change a little bit. I do find it difficult, Kevin. And I still think even with a deduction, I think unfortunately Luton will go. I think I summed it up earlier in the week or late last week by saying, like, with Luton, in most of, as much as they've impressed a lot of us the last 3 months, in most other seasons they would be bottom with the points total that they've got. Alex Ball says, hey pal, plan is Foden to Salah for free and next week Watkins to Darwin or another Dublin striker. Who do you prefer? Do you prefer this or rolling and downgrading Watkins to upgrade Huang fifth mid to Salah? That is Foden Salah for free next week. Watkins to Darwin or not? And next week, do you need to make the Watkins to Darwin move in 30 or 31? I'm not sure I understand, mate. In terms of like Watkins, if it's something you can do in 31, Watkins to Nunes is going to appeal. If you think Nunes plays against Sheffield United, that's obviously really going to appeal whilst Watkins goes to Manchester City. In terms of going Foden to Salah, I think that's perfectly reasonable, mate. In terms of Huang, again, it's a little bit about strategy, right? We think he'll probably be back in probably about mid-April, which is when there's every chance Wolves will have a double game week landing, right? So, right. Let's see who's next. Adam Allam says, my guy James, thanks for everything this season. Fantastic detailed content as always. Cheers. Three options. One, minus four for Madison to Mo this week. Two, wildcard 30 to get Mo in now. No Madison. Three, retain James Madison wildcard 31. Don't wildcard for one player, mate. Don't. That's highly likely to be the wrong solution, mate, unless he goes off mental. Yeah, I don't wildcard for one player. You're in a similar position to me because I've got Madison as well, right? So, no, I'd let that be. The minus four for Madison to Salah, I don't have a problem with. I think it's fine. Michael Brown says, is there a written down policy documents in which clubs are aware of spending limits in terms of profit and sustainability and FFP regulation for clubs to follow? I mean, in terms of what the spending limits are, yeah, there'll definitely be stuff in place there where people know what their thresholds are. In terms of the documents, in terms of, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm overthinking this, but is there strictly known of the 105 million is your cutoff? If you spent years in the championship, then it's less room to maneuver. So, for example, Forest had, I think, a bigger loss than Everton, but they also didn't have as much wriggle room because two of the accounting years were judged by the championship. And that's where there was a bit of confliction about, well, our Forest got less than Everton. That's partly the reason why, I think. So, yeah, the clubs know what they've got to work within. David H says, hi, James, on Wildcard 30. Thoughts on going for the Power 5 midfield? I'm going to skip that, David, because I kind of have been over that midfield 5 nearer the start, mate. Kanji FPL says, who would you prefer to hold all season, Foden or Son? I have strong team value. I don't know if we can make a decision there in terms of hold all season on. At the end, you know, if Son has a double, you might decide Foden, right? And at the end, if Son's got the double and a great game at 38 fixture at Sheffield United and perhaps City have got the title, won, you're going to want Son. So I don't think you can definitively make that sort of decision. Similarly, you might go the other way. Son stays out on the left. His form underwhelms. You go, well, I want to switch that back. If you asked me to absolutely define one right now for the rest of the season, I think I'd go Foden. I think just because of an element of unknown at the moment in terms of Sonny, and I wouldn't particularly want him for that period between 33 and 36, where I'd be happier to carry Foden through that. Panther 2099 just wanted to shout out one of your patrons, Oni. He's my little bro. I know it's team dependent. Which double do you think has most upside for free hit? I think the way it's going to land, probably 34. Partly because if we get all those doubles in there, I just think the players that we're looking at anyway, whether wildcarding now or wildcarding in 35, that's obviously if you wildcard 35. But I still think even if you're doing it now, Newcastle have a great run of fixtures. Chelsea have a great run of fixtures. I think it's 34. 34 purely because that enables you to get what you want around 34 better. That's going to be the number one reason. In terms of an upside itself, sure, you can maybe say 37 would maybe score more, but there's every chance you'll only end up with a team that's similar to others. So I think the answer is 34, personally. Noni's great, dude. James Wright says, smash the like, everyone. I can do Bowen to Salah for free this week. Should also do a Langer to Palmer for a -4 and bench Tony or Foden. Or just wait a week. Currently wildcard 33. Yeah, I think I'd get it done, mate, when it's straightforward like that. My homie says, hi, James. Thanks for the Robinson shout. Non-FPL question. If you had create an 11 this season of West Ham, Arsenal and Spurs, who would you pick? Also, would you let those two host again if you're away? I take it you mean Clayton and Serge. Yeah, sure. Of course they can. Creating 11 this from just this season. I'd put Vic in goal, personally. I think good debut season. Right back, White Porro's close, isn't it? Okay, let's go the other way. Udogi, yes. It's tough. I mean, Van de Ven against Gabriel. I think Gabriel. I think still Saliba over Romero. White and Porro, pretty close, I think. White's shown good adaptability recently as well. I think Porro's improved a lot. That one's really tough. Porro, I'll go Pedro. Midfield, Declan Rice, obviously. The rest of the midfield. I'm going to say Sarr and Odegaard, I think. You know, so I completely forgot West Ham here. Right, front three. There you go. Bowen up front, Saka right, Sonny left. There you go. We'll get away with it from there. David James Whiteway said, love the content, James, considering free Man United on wildcard. Yeah, I'm sure you will be, mate. That's fine. My homie says, hi, James. Thanks for the Robinson shout. Non-FPL question. If you had, that's what we've done. Owen Wilson says, if you had wildcard bench boost, free hit left, would you either bench boost 34 and free hit 37 or do it the other way around? Look, I can only say at the moment, based on the way it's going to land, it would be the other way around at the moment. You're going to be missing too much, I think, either side of 34 to bench boost 34. And I think the other way around. James Wright says, most likely surprise in Champions League next round. Tough, because they're pretty evenly matched. Most likely surprise. PSG to put in a consistent Champions League quarterfinal performance. There you go. That'll be enough. Jack Wellen says, worth transferring both Salah and Palmer next week for a -4. Yeah, I've covered. I'm going to say yeah. If I could get the both for -4, subject to the fitness status and stuff, yeah, I'd get it done. My homie says, hi, James. Do you think Everton might come to regret Sims after his performance in the Cup? Also, apart from Chelsea and Man U, who else do you think needs a new stadium? And is there a stadium you want to visit? Yeah, La Bombonera, Boca Juniors, mate. I don't think I'll ever get there, unfortunately. I've been lucky. I've discussed this several times in the past. I've I've covered all the ones in Europe that I really, really wanted to do. Who else needs a new stadium? Palace. Shithole. Sorry, guys. Everton are obviously getting one. Palace. I think Wolves had started a rebuild, but nowhere near in a position to be able to complete it. Bournemouth need a new stadium, bigger stadium. Luton will obviously get a new stadium. There's a few for you, mate. Will Everton regret selling Sims in terms of this season specifically? No, I don't think so. And they needed money from academy players. Don't forget that. Trini says, "Hi, James. Assuming the fixtures pan out exactly as you predicted, how would you approach running with free hit and bench boost alone?" Just kind of covered that for somewhere else, so I'm gonna skip. My homie gets the last one of the stream because I think we're at the end now. Says, "Do you think we will see a Premier League two or a reduction in the number of teams? Thanks for the great content. Have a good weekend." I think the Premier League would be desperate to keep it a 22-20 team league. I think at the point where it outweighs where we're getting sort of maybe even up to 9 or 10 teams in Europe, and I think that will happen eventually. There'll be lots of calls for that to reduce to 18. Remember, you need obviously 14 out of 20 to pass off a vote. I presume that would include that vote. And at the moment now, how many of the non-big six clubs are going to vote to say, yeah, cut off, relegate four teams this year. Like it's, I don't see it getting voted through. It might be something that has to get enforced eventually by a regulator on a fixture basis, possibly. No, I don't. In terms of Premier League Two rather than the Championship, I think the Championship's branded itself absolutely fine now, and I don't see the Premier League wanting to grab that on as a second point. If eventually the EFL came under a bannership of the Premier League, which isn't something that's impossible, by the way, in the future, then yes, that would maybe change, but I don't see it. Zvonimir Boban, go on, you can have one more. Says, joining late, so apologies if this has come up. I have all chips left. Is a double outside 34 and 37 likely for triple captain? If not, Salah v Sheffield United, maybe. Yeah, we still think at the moment, Brighton v Chelsea, probably for 35. 36, the obvious alternative. So, I mean, if it's 36, I think Palmer at home to West Ham and away to Brighton would look quite nice. Villa away would be the other fixture with Brighton in 35. Right, we'll leave it there, guys. Thanks very much for everyone who joined in the chat, submitted some questions, didn't spam it. It's much appreciated. Thanks to my guys, FPL Cricketer, Adam Keener, and others. Appreciate you looking after me there, mate. Thanks very much. That's all. Next week, hopefully by Monday's main podcast, we'll have these fixtures and we'll talk it over in terms of planning the rest of the season, looking at players and individuals that we want moving forward, both in the short, the medium, and right till the end. If you want to support the show, it's www.patreon.com/planetFPL. Support the show because you want to support the content or because you want the additional content, which will include in precisely 19 minutes from me saying these words, my Q&A today with Planet FPL wifey, my wife, which is a little bit of a riot, can confirm, touch wood, she hasn't left me yet. That'll be out for our patrons at basic tier plus and above from 4:15 this afternoon. Advanced tiers, you've got a 37-minute video tonight coming out on talking tactics from Manchester United, Liverpool as well, and hope to speak to many of you at 7 o'clock tonight as well. But thanks very much to everyone on the stream. Smash a like, hit the sub button, and for the benefit of those on the audio cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Podcast Network.